What if I told you everything you know about the world is wrong? What if I told you that all the things you believe to be impossible are in fact very much possible?
Reality is not what you think it is. It is so much more complicated, fascinating, and above all, terrifying.
We are at the fringes of the map.
And there's more than just dragons.
You get to the front door, who's first?
Well, I suppose it should be me and James.
James gestures.
And where are we going, Oliver? Just so we can all know where we're going to be sitting.
That's a good idea, yeah.
The hole will be inside. There's a bed, a double bed. I need to get underneath the bed. You will need to probably lie on the ground. And if you can't see the hole, someone else is going to have... Or if you'll see the hole, but if you can't see through the hole, if you know what I mean, someone else is going to have to take the gun.
Fuck. All right. Well, so I guess the plan is you guys go in the distractor. We get to the bedroom. I lie down and pray to fucking God I can see through this hole. How's that for a plan?
Sounds good.
James gestures so that he's going to open the door and you're going to come in first. Maybe, do you have a weapon right now? He's got the baby mobile and the
scissors. I've got the dog toy in my top pocket, but my hands are duct taped into fists.
If they're duct taped into fists, he hands you back the baby mobile.
Okay.
So that he's got a free hand and also so that you have something that might help.
Fair.
Then James slowly opens the door and you creep in.
Yeah.
Inside the room, as described and as it appeared from the outside, you could see deflated balloons all over the place. There's another like streamer as well hanging from the roof that says, "Congratulations, Esther and husband." The story's never specified.
Yeah.
You see on the table, there's this really old, disgusting wedding cake. It's still got the topper with the man and the woman up the top, but all of it's like sagged and moldy and just gross. There is no person here. There's, like I said, it's a one-room dwelling, so everything that someone could need is in this one room. Kitchenette, fireplace, maybe like a little moth-eaten couch.
Yeah.
And then, of course, up one end is the bed.
Can we see Esther anywhere?
No, she's not here.
All right, let's get it started.
Get going.
So I take... Whoop. Jump down, Oliver.
Oliver slowly moves under the bed, and you see on the bed frame, underneath where he crawls, there is a black handprint. Mm-hmm. Underneath the bed, you can see this space. This hole seems deceptively large. Rather than the back wall, you can see where the wall would be. It looks like a gap. On the other side, you see a town, a city. It might be Winterset. You're not 100% certain. You spot some buildings that you remember seeing in town. It looks like Winterset on the other side, but the buildings look slightly different. Everything looks kind of warped and grander than it should. Buildings seem either way more imposing and larger than they actually are, or so much smaller and unimportant than they might actually be. You see people. It's not heavily populated, but you can see some people on the street doing things. Once again, these people seem either so much larger than life or so much otherwise different. As Oliver crawls through the hole, he starts standing up and he casts his eyes around. He looks back at you and he whispers, "Can you see me?"
Oh, thank fuck. Good news, fellas. I can see him. Yeah, I can see you, little guy.
All right.
Big man. I don't even know what.
Just call me Oliver. It's my name.
Ali. All right. I can see you, Ali.
I think he looks somewhere where you can't see, like out of the range of your little view here. And he whistles. And then the other kids start showing up. Some of them have cuts and bruises on them. You can see that they've obviously been doing their own thing in the nightmare while you were here. They all start huddling around and he starts whispering or explaining the plan and updating.
And why isn't it, even though I've got the bolt cutters with me, is there a knife that I can just grab? Because it's much easier than bolt cutters.
Yeah, and the like kitchenette area, you could quickly go find a knife.
I grab a knife there just because, bolt cutters is so
look,
cumbersome.
It's going to be,
to be able to move fast. All right. Yeah. And then I lie down. I'm like, all right, you guys watch my back.
All right.
And can I get under the bed or am I like... just like lying on the floor in the middle of this.
You're lying
one
on the
bedroom.
Floor. Yeah. You're what lying you on the floor.
This is the most exposed thing on the planet.
It's the only way you can see through the hole.
Oh, fuck, I've never been more exposed. All right, guys, it's up to you. I'm going to... Can I at least, like, put a blanket over me or something?
You could grab a blanket and throw it over yourself, sure, yeah.
Maybe that could protect me from the...
It's going to be pretty obvious, like, where you are. It's okay. Not going to really hide you.
There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do.
You're going to rely on us.
Yeah.
James, you hear, like, sucks in air, like, in panic and fear really quickly.
You're right, James.
You follow his eyeline to the window, and you see outside a woman... in a wedding dress with a veil thrown over her head, slowly, like she's walking down the aisle, takes a step into the window. She's holding a bouquet of rotting dead flowers, and she takes another step and then goes past the window and then must be in front of the door.
Well, James,
it's been nice knowing you.
Let's see what happens. All right, I'd like to, like... I guess just this. It's not like I can get a run up to do this, but yeah. I'll just walk over to her and try and clock her in the face.
Oh, the door is closed and she's on the other side of the door.
Oh, I thought you said she passed through the door. Oh, okay.
No. She passes by the window and then must be in front of the door.
All right, I'm just going to go stand in front of the door and try and hold it closed.
The door handle.
I don't know about you, James, but I'm starting to think this could be very easy.
Yeah, you hold the door shut. It's not a lot of force. Like, it doesn't feel like she's putting her full weight behind it, but she does make an effort to open it, and you prevent her from getting in. James takes a step closer and says, "Do you need a hand?"
Ooh, not yet.
So block up some of these other things then.
Yeah, James. This is a good
you're right. James starts getting furniture and starts trying to block up windows. You need to make another strength check. This time she gives it a bit more gusto, and... she kind of like forces it open enough that there's not a big enough gap for her to get through, but she can put her foot into the gap, which she does. So a heeled foot steps into the doorway. You can just barely see through the dress, just barely see desiccated green flesh in the slipper.
All right, ma'am, not today. And then I'd like to like push back against the door to try and close it.
As you try to force the door closed, she gets an arm in and starts scrambling around for you. Her hand comes in right at your face. Mm-hmm. You lean backwards. Her hand lands on the door itself, and you get a good look at her hand. Once again, it's green, desiccated flesh. Her long, like, corpse-like nails bite into the wood of the door and slowly drag. She makes like a claw mark on the door. Mm. You try to force the door closed again.
Come on, little lady.
Unfortunately, you cannot force the door closed on her arm. You cannot just sever her arm and foot.
Yeah, fair.
She forces it a bit more, and then part of her body starts coming into the room. The door catches on her veil and pulls at it. You get a glimpse into her face. Her empty eyeless sockets, her black twisted mouth pulled upwards in a rictus grin, and then she tries swinging at you again.
Does her mouth open at all?
Her mouth is open, but like as in she cannot close her mouth. Her flesh is so desiccated.
Okay.
Do it.
Risky move.
Do it.
I'd like to step, maybe. Okay, so this is the strategy.
Sure.
I'm going to wait till she pushes for the door, right? Then I'm going to step back, open the door, and try and shove the dog bone into her mouth.
Well, she takes a swing at you, misses again as you lean backwards and her long fingernails come within like millimeters of you. And then she stumbles forwards into the room. You leaning back was kind of like the impetus for her to get the door open. You shove the dog chew toy halfway into her mouth. She staggers backwards. Her socketless eyes don't really move properly, but it kind of feels like they slightly, subtly adjust in a look of shock.
Is there a squeak?
Sure, there's a squeak, yeah.
Oh, no, okay, because if there wasn't, I was going to plonk her down on the top of the head.
There's a little bit of a squeak. Maybe if you want to squeze it even slightly.
Yeah, sure, as
I
put it in, because I'm like, well, that may... that.
What the fuck is happening back there?
As soon as you do that, the second it's... you hear the sounds of multiple dogs barking outside.
That didn't do what I thought it was gonna.
It's not necessarily bad news.
Yeah, no, I'm waiting to see. Yeah.
James comes in from the side. He has like a wooden chair in his hands. He just smacks it on her back, WWE style.
Hell yeah. Go, James.
The chair doubles her over forwards, but it damages her, but it doesn't slow or stop her down.
Mm-hmm.
She stands back up, and I guess it's her turn.
Uh-oh.
Odds or evens?
Odds.
She goes after James.
Uh-oh.
She turns around and lunges towards him. James puts his hands up and tries to prevent her from touching him.
Moment of truth.
His arms are longer than hers, and so when he plants
his duct-taped
hands on her breast,
yeah,
he prevents her from touching him. Her hands aren't mm-hmm. long enough to reach. Now, I have no idea what sort of a role this would be to determine how these two nightmares interact.
Yeah.
Highs or lows?
Fuck. Highs.
As the duct tape mitts touch her, you both can see that they begin to age and wither at a rapid rate. Mm-hmm. James is safe, but the duct tape is being destroyed.
Okay.
At that moment, the door explodes open. It had already been kind of like swinging, yeah, but it like full on blasts open and several big dogs launch into the cabin. One of them lands squarely on Esther Hale's back
mm-hmm.
and shoves her into the ground. The dogs are quite clearly desperate for the chew toy, but as soon as they start touching her, they begin to wither and age and die.
Has Esther been pushed prone?
She's prone. Yeah, she's on the floor. It's your turn, Cannonball.
Okay. I'd like to just get one boot up. I'm putting my foot down and then just crunch it down onto her desiccated skull.
Surely.
Your boot slams into her head and you see a bit of blood splat out in all directions.
Distasteful.
Your boot begins to age and decay almost immediately. Meanwhile, Connor.
I've been sitting there.
It's all happening on top of you, which is great.
It's right behind. There's enough room that it's not on top of you, but it is right behind you.
I am sweating and staring straight ahead at these kids and being like, these fuckers better not be fucking, oh, fuck me. All right, kids, you better be doing this. I'm staring through the hole at what these kids are doing, wiping the sweat out of my eyes, gun ready, just sitting there waiting.
You can see one of the kids, maybe, I don't know, the one dressed as the Hamburglar, has a megaphone and is calling through the megaphone, but you can't hear what's being said. You can't even, like, she's close enough that you would be able to hear her normally, but when her voice goes into the megaphone, something about it, it just becomes completely silent. After a little while, the kids start lowering. They start getting tense. You can tell that your time is coming soon. That is happening while Esther Hale hits the ground. You can hear behind you.
What the fuck is going on back there? Oh, God, Mother Mary. All right. Let's just focus.
It's like mental static. They part and you see that there is something there, but it's like your eyes receive the message and on the way to the brain, they are being intercepted. Every like frame of your vision, it feels like something is being cut surgically out. You can't, quotation marks, see the Abaddon, but you know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
It from the part of your vision that you're missing, you can tell that it's big. It would be hard to miss, but you are scared to do it. The kids part, you've got the shot.
I'm taking it.
What is your firearms? What is your dexterity?
Oh, shit. Oh, no. Why did I get the gun?
You know what's going to really suck as well? Mm. Normally a rifle like this would require... What's your strength?
My strength's great. Four.
Four? Normally a rifle like this would require only 3 strength.
Yeah.
And that would be enough to control the kickback. This rifle is weird and special and requires 5 strength. Otherwise, the kickback throws off your aim. So you're going to take a -1 in addition to whatever your score is already. So what is your firearms and what is your dexterity?
1.
1 in total across all of it?
Yeah.
So that's a chance die.
Can I tell that it's go time?
1 success. You see Connor tensing underneath the blanket.
I'd like to, maybe my foot's down, and then I'd like to crouch down and put a hand on his shoulder and be like, shoot the Balrog.
Connor, you have 1 die to hit this thing. It is not a chance die. So an 8, a 9, or a 10 will all yield success.
Okay.
Would you like to roll it?
Oh, yeah.
The luck of the Irish.
Oh! What'd you get?
A high score.
High score. Is it a three or
a
three?
It's a three.
It's a three.
Damn. Bang! The shot echoes. It kicks into you. It feels like your shoulder dislocates. There is like such a tremendous strength to this weapon. The bullet rips through the nightmare, through underneath the bed and into the nightmare. It shoots straight past the cutout in your image. Oliver turns back with a fucking wide-eyed expression as the shape that is missing in your vision becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. As that's happening, Oliver turns around to look at you and starts screaming, "Reload! Reload!" Meanwhile,
fuck. I can't believe we nearly finished this off so quickly.
Hannibal, your boot is on Esther Hales, on her back, on the back of her head. It is beginning to decay and die. She reaches up to try and grab your exposed ankle.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
She misses you, and instead her hand lands firmly on the dog on top of her. With a yelp, the dog, like the dog's hair, all falls out. And in the space of a second, it ages what must feel like 100 years. The desiccated corpse of the dog thump, hits the ground. The other dogs start to get a little wary, but they fucking want that chew toy. Esther Hale struggles beneath you and spits out the chew toy. With no liquid, she has no liquid in her body to speak of, but with just kind of like a dry, dusty clunk, 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 the bone rolls away and the dogs try to inch their way around you and Esther Hale to get to the chew toy. It is James's turn. James, with the scissors, tries to stab her in the back. He stabs her in the back. The scissors work their way in deep, and then Esther lets out a howling screech. As she does that, James tries to work the scissors back out, but they snap off, breaking in his hand.
Fuck.
He falls backwards onto his bum, mm-hmm. and then looking at the broken scissors, he says, "Bad scissors." It's your turn.
Okay. How exposed is her head at this point? And is her head just like a mush?
Do you want to... No, it's not a mush. Okay. You've kind of compressed her head a little bit. Do you mean how exposed is it if you took your boot off, or do you mean how exposed is it beneath your boot?
Beneath my boot.
Not very.
I'd like to rack my brain for any story about her. Is there any ritual, no matter how, I mean, I'm not talking like a necessarily a cult ritual, but, you know, like a whistle by graveyards kind of ritual.
Sure.
That I can think of, that I know of, not even necessarily just for Esther Hale, but for ghosts in general.
Unfortunately, you're racking your brain. You can't really think of anything. To complicate matters, you don't know if Esther counts as a ghost.
Yeah, for sure.
She definitely, I know you've encountered more physical ghosts earlier, but her body seems quite real to you. It feels wrong to categorize her as a ghost.
Okay.
That was your turn.
Yeah, that's fair.
Connor. You fumble with the action of the rifle, desperately trying to reload, I assume.
Yeah.
Desperately trying to reload. You rack in another round. Fire again.
Firing again.
Roll the dice.
I don't think I have any wolf power left.
It's a chance die then. So you only succeed on a 0, on a 10.
Fuck.
Well, what are the odds of that?
1 in 10.
All right.
1 in 10.
You've got
2 shots left.
2 shots left.
Fuck.
The luck of the Irish. Oh!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, yes. It's a 10!
As fuck it.
Whoa.
That's incredible.
The luck of the Irish. I could kiss you.
Crack! Again, it feels like your already dislocated shoulder is pulverized from the second round. It rips into the shape directly. It's so big right in front of you. How could you possibly miss? It tears through it. You can see that you have made an actual hole in the hole in your vision. You can now see through to the night sky on the other side in the nightmare. The twisted, warped shape begins tumbling backwards, falling over. The kids rush forwards. Oliver turning around to look at you, Connor, and he starts screaming, "The notch! The notch!"
Oh, fuck.
Then she whips around and tries to grab at you again, Cannonball. So lucky. She's trying to grab at you madly, but she can't make contact. At one point, her fingers brush against your pant leg, and you almost immediately feel your pants age 100 years.
That feeling, yeah.
It feels like all the moisture is drawn out of your pants. They have like a texture now, like you're wearing cardboard almost. Wow. And it is James's turn. James, maybe from your hands, Cannonball, grabs the mobile and starts spinning it. Ding, bing, ding, ding, bing, ding, bing. It starts making a soft, faint noise. For a brief moment, Esther Hale gazes upon it, and you can see that she slows down, but she starts, like, shaking herself. She loses interest in the mobile, but you can see it's distracted her slightly. I will say that she does not have her defense against you this turn.
Okay, I'd like to pick her up by the scruff of her neck and the seat of her pants and throw her out the cabin.
You pick up Esther Hale, and you don't really throw her so much as you kind of half shove her out the door. She stumbles towards the door and falls half in, half out of the building.
Okay.
At that point, it is Connor.
I'm grabbing that knife and making that notch.
The wood on the rifle resists your knife, and it feels like it's trying hard to fight you making any indentation. You push hard into the wood, and as you do so, you make a large score right next to the other ones.
Okay.
As the knife slides off the end, and you can see you've made a big welt, a divot in the rifle, you look up and you see the shape of the Abaddon jerk, and then if it was falling backwards before, now it becomes like a rapid descent. The Abaddon hits the ground and you see the kids descend on it. The kid with the lantern shines it along one side and you see it like scrounge and try to get away from the light, while the kid with it's not a knife right now, it's a sword, but the kid with the boning sword, if you will, slashes at them. The other kids are doing stuff on the other side, and you can see that with the good scissors, trying not to run, Oliver is fending off attackers that you can't see from other directions.
Okay.
The shape of the Abaddon jerks one final time, and then it begins to melt into the pavement. You can't really see what's happening, but Oliver screams at the kids, "Go, go, we've got to get out of here!" One by one, the kids start turning around and slipping underneath the bed, sliding out or scrambling out next to you. Out comes John, out comes Emily Garcia, out comes Lulu, Luke Brown, Ollie Brown, the kid with the circular, Oliver comes out, and then Ollie, the last kid, the one dressed as the Hamburglar with the circular disc, she is the last to scramble out. And as she does so, you can see the shape writhing about as it tries to prevent itself from being consumed into the earth. Like a tendril reaches out, wraps around Ollie, and starts trying to drag her back into the nightmare. Her eyes wide, she stares at you, Connor.
Okay, timing-wise, could I reload and shoot in this time, or do I have to just grab her?
You can reload and shoot if you want, or you can grab her if you want. I'll leave that with you for just a sec.
Fuck.
Esther, so she's on her belly.
Mm-hmm.
She comes, without using her hands, comes to a full stand. She turns around and you look into the empty eyes of the bride. She screams and lunges towards you.
All right.
At the exact same moment, James launches into you. Three of you tumble to the floor. So
yeah,
you can try to prevent yourself from being touched, or you can try to prevent James from being touched.
I'll try to prevent James from being touched.
Odds or evens?
Odds.
The bride comes for you, Cannonball. You were the most recent one to try and grab at her. James, as she's reaching out, her hands are about to come around your neck. James slams into you. You grab James, and with your big, mighty body, you try to slam him behind you. He's just physically not as large. He doesn't have the weight. Mm-hmm. You throw him behind you as the bride falls onto you. In the scramble, instead of grabbing your throat, her hands, her arms go around you and begin touching your back. Like with your pants, it feels like your clothes are turning to cardboard and melting away. She's kind of almost leaning against you like you were doing some sort of awful bridal waltz together. What do you do, Connor?
Look, I haven't got... you know what? I just grab the kid because there's no time to reload.
You grab the kid?
I grab the kid and I pull.
You grab the kid and drag forwards, but the Abaddon is so much stronger. She is dragged completely back into the nightmare, and your arms and head are now in the nightmare.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Your midsection, though, becomes like about where your shoulders start, kind of becomes wedged in the hole. It feels like it should be bigger, but somehow you're half, not even half, like a third into the nightmare, and that's when you stop. You cannot go any further in. Your grip is the only thing preventing Ollie from being dragged to wherever the Abaddon is being dragged. Cannonball, what do you do?
So she's got her arms around my sort of like neck and hands on her back behind me. But arms are free, yeah?
Yeah.
I'd like to reach around behind me, pull out the handgun that I picked up at the army base. And then I'd like to plug her in the face and say something like, I was never much for ghost stories. And try and shoot her in the head.
Her face, she's slightly shorter than you, significantly shorter than you. So she's kind of like looking up into you. And you can see she's kind of trying to strain herself so that her face meets yours, so that she can touch skin to skin. You bring the gun underneath her chin.
I was never much for ghost stories.
You plug her right in the head.
Yeah.
You see the bullet rip into, because of her open mouth and eyes, you see the bullet pass through her mouth and then through her right eye. Her head rocks backwards and she staggers backwards. She collapses onto the ground.
Can I kick her out of the door?
Sure, yeah.
Stay out of Winterset.
This guy's doubled up the quips.
Damn it. Her body begins to bleed little wisps of light and color. And then you notice that the entire cabin is doing the same thing. The gateway begins to get smaller and smaller around you, Connor, as this nightmare begins to end.
Can I do anything though right now?
James,
I'm just holding on like, yeah.
James grabs you from behind and starts pulling on you as well. He adds his strength to yours. You get one extra. So if you're trying to pull, you get 5 instead of 4. He adds an extra dice to you.
Okay. Let's do it.
1, 2 successes. 3 successes. Beautiful.
Perfect.
You drag Ollie back into your world, out of the nightmare. And the Abaddon's tendril, as soon as it touches the portal through, something the Abaddon, I guess, cannot inhabit in its natural form, cannot leave the nightmare, and its tendril lets go as if it was stung by electricity. Ollie is now properly on the other side as the building around you turns to wisps, smoke, colors, and then disappears.
Whew.
All of you stand in the forest.
Head count. I say to the kids.
Also, did I see the other reality, the nightmare world?
Yeah, you were in there for a brief second.
What am I doing? I must be.
What the fuck was that? I'd like to make sure everyone's here. We're not missing anyone.
You count John Lancaster, Emily Garcia, Lulu Davis, Luke Brown, Ollie Brown. You count James Lancaster. You count Oliver Lancaster. You count, obviously, both of yourselves. You look over to the car and you see Dave Buster sitting there. Kind of like breathing heavily.
That would have been stressful to watch. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. Maybe I say to Oliver, where's River?
The
ghost kid.
What? John looks at you and says, he met River. River was a wolf for him. We were the ones who knew them as like a little ghost.
Right. Well,
I don't know. We never saw them in the nightmare. They only ever helped us here.
Peculiar. I turn to look at you. You're right.
Oh, I'm going to need a few days to get over this, but yeah, I've somehow. I'm all right.
You hear overhead the sounds of helicopters. You look up, and this time, instead of seeing the well-known silhouette of a military helicopter, you see the obvious silhouettes of civilian helicopters. When they get a bit closer, and by their own light, you can kind of see reflected the... By their own light, you can kind of see the helicopters properly. You see stamped on the side the Red Cross. They're ambulance helicopters. They both fly overhead and start... they're making their way to Winterset, clearly.
Well, I look at the Pontiac. I don't know if we've really got room for everyone. But...
You look at the fiberglass Pontiac.
Are we done? Have we kids? Have we done it? Have we done it? Is that it?
All the kids start looking at each other and nod. Yeah, I think we did it.
Well,
fuck yeah. Cannonball. My man, I don't know how you feel about hugs.
I ain't opposed to them.
You come here, you big bastard.
We fucking did it. The kids also are probably laughing and cheering and hugging each other and stuff.
We fucking did it, Cannonball.
That we did.
Emily Garcia and John Lancaster, as all the kids are hugging and kissing, Emily Garcia and John Lancaster... You children cannot hide things from adults in this system. It's impossible. You see that there's obviously this entire time, I guess, there's been some sort of relationship going on there. It's young love or something.
Well, that's nice.
That's nice.
All right, children, we better get walking into town, given that our car is once again a monument.
Dave Buster slowly shakes his head. It feels like he's coming out of a daze. He has many questions for you on the way back. Mostly they are, can you go ahead, leave me here, I don't want to walk.
Does he ask about what happened?
Eventually, after a little while, you get the impression that it feels like he's coming out of a dream.
Yeah.
And he keeps asking you questions that you feel like you should know the answer to. Like, at one point, maybe he checks the time and he's like,
where did all the hours go?
It feels like he doesn't really remember what happened.
That's good. I was going to ask how fragile I think his psyche is. So I wasn't going to tell him anything anyway.
As you make your way back to the road, one by one, without anyone noticing it and without anyone thinking about it, and no one from this point forwards, no one will really remember or think about it. But one by one, each of the kids forgets about and drops their item as they're walking. Just carelessly, one of them, maybe the kid with the boning knife, she at one point sets it down while you've stopped and then forgets to pick it back up.
Fuck, I wish I had my camera.
James with the old diary, he tries to put it into his backpack absentmindedly, but he misses the pocket. It falls onto the ground. No one thinks about it or notices it. The hooded lantern is really heavy, so she keeps having to set it down. And one time, she just forgets to pick it back up.
Wait a second.
Yeah?
Am I naked?
Why would you be? Oh, I see. Yeah. I guess you're in your underwear. Oh, it's like October. You're cold. It's like 3 a.m. as well.
That's so funny.
You are so cold.
I tell you, fellas, we might want to get a bit of a move on here, all right?
James takes off his jacket and puts his jacket
on. You're a gentleman. You're a gentleman, James. Whew, I think you still might need a bit of a
walk. The medical side satchel, the clasp just comes undone and it hits the ground and somehow no one notices. And then finally, almost just before you get to the road, Ollie Brown with the circular weight, she's been like... kind of absentmindedly fiddling with it. She fumbles it and drops it in front of her, steps on it, looks down like she's trying to remember something, and then shakes her head, and all of you keep going. By the time you've gotten back to the Pontiac, you can see that there are... actually, no way. You wouldn't walk back to the Pontiac. There would be ambulances driving past. One of them stops to pick you up. Yeah,
that's fair.
I really need
that. One of those like heater blanket things is wrapped around you, Connor.
Perfect, yeah.
Some and you were
cocoa?
Yeah, and sure, they have like a, maybe not cocoa, but they have some hot water for you to drink, like tea or something.
Hot water.
They don't just have hot water.
How do they know? This is what I love.
Yeah. You, all of you are driven into town. You see people are wandering around town with confused expressions on their faces. No one seems to really understand what's going on. Both of you are kind of vaguely aware that... It feels like you're forgetting little dribs and drabs. You never completely forget this these days, but details become kind of like murkier and murkier as time goes on. A lot of people in town seem to have this strange story. They're like, there were people in uniforms coming through. Mm. And then eventually the real military shows up. And real actual unmarked black sedans with strange men in suits show up and start interviewing people. You two would probably be aware of kind of the idea of what is happening here, but the general townsfolk do not. Even James Lancaster, you can tell after a little while of just like walking around and chatting, he keeps asking questions that he should know the answer to.
What time is it?
It would be, by this point, it's nearly sunrise.
How early does the Diner 49... No. Yeah, the Diner 49 open.
It opens at 5 a.m. every morning.
I turn to you. You eat breakfast?
I think there's a big pile of beans with our name on it. Cannonball.
Sounds like a plan.
As you start heading towards the diner, you see in kind of like the tree line where Salt Fork, the reserve, kind of begins, you see a small figure, like a small shape, evenly distributed, like a clean silhouette of a sheet, almost. The silhouette shifts a little bit, and you see the silhouette instead of a wolf. This wolf is not large and imposing like the Bloody Mary one. This one's smaller and maybe more regular wolf-sized. You look into the wolf's face, the wolf looks into yours, and in the same way that you might feel the rays of the sun upon you, you feel a sense of gratitude from the wolf.
That's that ghost kid.
I should go and chat to George Conrad, I think. It's been too long.
The wolf gives you like what you understand to be a grateful nod and then turns back into the forest and disappears.
I get a feeling we did all right, Cannonball.
Yeah, I think we did something pretty good here today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.